Hey, we're beginning tonight on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah down towards the bottom, three lines before the widest lines. Three lines before the widest lines, down at the bottom. This is our. We'll be finishing the Perek Ezes Hashem with this Gemara, and we will be finishing our pre-Pesach schedule. It's very, very appropriate. They say that when you hit on the something that's pertinent to the day in the course of your learning, that it's some sort of sign of favor min hashamayim. I don't know if there's a source for that. If there's a source for that, I'd appreciate someone telling me what it is. But that's what they say. So this is mamish appropriate. Perfect. Huh? Dababita, yeah. Mamish perfect. So we'll begin the Mishnah. Mamish, out of the Haggadah. Okay? Mazkirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelois. There is a chiyuv to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. Meaning, we know that the Torah requires us to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. The question is, does that include nighttime as well? So, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I had this tradition that we should be mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim at nighttime as well. And that's really, it's a chiyuv twice a day. But, Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana. I'm like 70 years old. We all know what that means, right? The famous idea that he was 18 years old, but he was appointed Nasi. And he went home, they asked him to become the Nasi. So he went home to consult with his wife. She said, 18 years old, your beard has barely started filling in. Who's going to take you seriously? He woke up the next morning, he had a white beard. And Rabbi Avigdor Miller said that there's likely to be something natural to that too. As soon as he understood what he was getting himself into, he woke up the next morning with a white beard. Whatever it is, Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana.
Similar to being a Shul president.
Yeah. Shul's president, he was Klal Yisrael's president. Forget about it. That's not an easy job. Wasn't it Begin who told the American president? Ben Gurion already. And you have 250 million citizens. I have 6 million prime ministers. Right. Not easy to be the Nasi of the Jewish people. So now, Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana. Says, though I'm 70 years old, V'lazachisi she'te'omer Yitzias Mitzrayim Aleilois. And I still did not merit that they should mention the exit from Egypt at night. What did he mean? He meant to say, I had this tradition, but I never managed to show a source for it. I never managed to substantiate it. Ad shedrosha ben Zayma, until Ben Zayma came along, and he anchored it in a pasuk. He showed a source for it in the pasuk. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, lema'an tizkor es yoyim tzeitzcho me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecho. So that you should remember. Often when the Torah talks about remembering, it means zechira bapeh. You have to mention your departure from Mitzrayim all the days of your life. Now, there's an extra word here. Yemei chayecha yamin. The Torah could have just said, you should remember it for the days of your life. That would imply every day. Kol yemei chayecha, when it adds all the days of your life, that's an extra word. Halelois. It's coming to include that you must mention it at night as well. And therefore, this is the scriptural source for the obligation to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim twice a day, morning and evening.
Before that, he used to do it as well, but he just didn't know what
he had a Kabbalah, he had a tradition that this was how it was, but others did not have this tradition, and since he couldn't substantiate it, they weren't accepting it. And the Chachamim say no. That source from the pasuk, the coil, the extra coil, is not a good source. Because it's coming to teach something else. When it says you should remember it throughout your life, it means in this world. Coil, when it adds all the days of your life, Le'ahavi limois hamashiach. It's coming to add that you'll have to mention it in the times of Mashiach as well. Meaning, we'll see in the Gemara soon, but that's a chiddush. We might think that once the great wonders of Mashiach's times will happen, Yitzias Mitzrayim will become child's play. We won't have to mention it anymore. So the Chachamim say, no, we have a pasuk teaching us you must mention it in the time of Mashiach as well. But, according to them, we do not have a source telling us that you have to say it at night. Okay. So now, we continue this debate in a Braisa in the Gemara. Tanya. Omar lahem ben Zayma lachachamim. Ben Zayma says to the Chachamim, v'chimazkirin yitzias Mitzrayim limois HaMashiach. You're saying that the Gemara is coming to teach that the Pasuk is coming to teach and will continue mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim even in Mashiach's times. Is that so? But there's a Pasuk that says, Hine yomim bo'im ne'um Hashem. There are days coming ahead, Hashem says. V'layomu oid. And the Jewish people will no longer say, Chai Hashem asher ha'elos b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Up till then, the standard oath was by the life of Hashem who took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. That was their experience with Hashem. And therefore, that's what they swore by. Ki'im, rather, they're going to say, Chai Hashem, by the life of Hashem, Asher He'elo, v'asher Hevi, who brought together Es Zera Beis Yisrael, the seed of the house of Yisrael, Me'eretz Tzofayna, from the land of the north, Omikolo Arotzois Asher Hidachtim Shom, and from all the lands where I have scattered them. So if so, we see that the memory of Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be supplanted by the great events that are going to happen at the end of time. And therefore, no, there in fact will not be any mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim in the days of Mashiach. And therefore, when we have this extra word, koil, all, it is coming to tell us that you say it at night as well. Amru lai, but the Chachamim answered no. We do mention Yitzias Mitzrayim even in Mashiach's times. Loi shete, okay, Yitzias Mitzrayim im koima. When this pasuk says that now they'll be swearing by Hashem who took the Jewish people out of who gathered them in from the exile, doesn't mean that Yitzias Mitzrayim will be completely, all memory of Yitzias Mitzrayim will be completely uprooted. Rather, what it means is that the redemption from the current galus will be the main one discussed, the main focus. Yitzias Mitzrayim tofeloi, and Yitzias Mitzrayim will be secondary, but it certainly will still be mentioned. Okay. So this is what the Chachamim are saying. So let's just note both sides of the Machloikis here, because there's a lot to glean from both understandings. First of all, we have Ben Zayma, right? So Ben Zayma is Lamaisa maintaining that yes, you have to mention it morning and evening. Morning and evening. This is, okay, of course, the way we paskim, but at the very least, but according to the Chachamim, you have to mention it at least daily. So this is just important to note that we see here that the Torah considers the redemption from Egypt a very fundamental element of the Jewish mentality, or the Jewish consciousness. Sorry, not mentality, consciousness. It's something that's supposed to be in your consciousness all the time. You're supposed to be living with the consciousness of Yitzias Mitzrayim. All your life should be against that consciousness, the light of that consciousness of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's like the Alter of Kelm said, that he cites the Chovis HaLevavos. The Chovis HaLevavos says that Hashem provided things plentifully according to need. Famous concept. That the most basic necessity is air, therefore air is the most plentiful. After that is water. So air is free. Nobody has to pay for it. It's available everywhere except in a plastic bag. But it's available everywhere, right? You don't have to pay for it. You can get it anywhere. After that is water. Water isn't everywhere, but it's plenty, right? It's not too hard to get a hold of water, because that's the second most basic. After that is food. Food is a little bit more scarce than water, but also it's available. If you're not too finicky, food is cheap. Clothing is the next level. And he says, as you go, as the less necessary something is, the rarer it is. Therefore, gems are very, very rare. They're not really necessary for people's existence. So the Alter von Kelm says that the same applies to spirituality. Hashem provided mitzvahs according to the need for our spiritual well-being. And therefore, if we see that Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that has to be mentioned day, night, day, night, day, night, we see that that's like mamish, a staple. It's a staple for the Jewish constitution. The Yetzias Mitzrayim should be something we're living with all throughout the year. Now, by the way, this answers another question. Right? This is a famous question everybody asks. Many Mefarshim ask this. We have a special obligation to relate the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim at the Seder night. Right? You should relate it to your child. How's that different? Every night there's a chiyuv. We have a chiyuv to mention every night, as we're discussing here. So what's different? What's the halachic difference? It's just that then there's two mitzvahs. What's different about the Leila Seder than every other night? So the simple answer is, possibly the Reb Chaim Brisker says this, that every night is just a chiyuv to mention it. You don't have to talk about it to anybody else. A basic mention, like we do, a basic mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim every night. Whereas on the Leila Seder, there's a chiyuv to expound and elaborate as much as possible. So yeah, this is really also an issue of chinuch. Hashem wants us to be a regular part of our consciousness. Once a year we make a really big deal about it, but really that's meant to carry us all throughout the year. We're supposed to draw on that. When we make our two little mentions every day, we're really supposed to be tapping into that big inspiration of the once a year. Something that we're meant to be carrying through with us all throughout the year. Okay. Now, the Chachamim are maintaining, we have an interesting machloikas here. What's going to happen if the Mashiach comes? Ben Zayma seems to say, if the Mashiach comes, oh, when you see what's going to happen then, Yetzias Mitzrayim will be nothing. And then there's not going to really be any point in mentioning it anymore. We're going to see such greater things. Just we want to have a little bit of an idea of what this means. If Sadi Goyen makes a deal, he says, how did Hashem describe to Avraham Avinu the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 10 Makas, etc.? So v'gamis hagoy asher yavoidu don anoichi. The whole description of the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim is encapsulated in two words: don anoichi. I will judge them. Two words in Hebrew. In English, it's three. I will judge them. Four. But don anoichi. In Hebrew, it's two words. Two words describing all the marvels, all the spectacles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says, now, how many words are there in prophecy, in Navi, describing the end of days? If two words equaled all the spectacles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what about all the endless, endless, endless words and verbiage in the Navi in describing the end of days? So, getting a little bit of an idea, what it's going to look like is completely beyond us. But yeah, we're getting an idea that it's going to completely overshadow Yetzias Mitzrayim in its magnitude. But yet, the Chachamim are saying that, no, it still won't completely supplant Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim will still be there, but those things will be much more conspicuous in our consciousness, etc.
Why does it be said every day? We have Slichot, and we mention all the different miracles that were done, you know, that Hashem did. And why does this have to be mentioned at all? If it's going to be so, you know, we don't mention Avraham Avinu being saved from Nimrod's furnace, you know, except on special occasions. Why does that have to be daily?
It's on the contrary. That's I have to be sure. Okay, so we'll see. Let's see. Now, ki yaitze bayato imer. Along similar lines, there is such a thing elsewhere, that even though the Torah seems to be saying that something, A, will replace B, it doesn't mean that B is completely out of the picture. It just means that A will be the primary focus and B will be secondary. Vayikare Shimcha Oid Yaakov. Hashem tells Yaakov, your name will not be called Yaakov anymore. Kim Yisrael Yiyeh Shemecha. From now on, Yisrael will be your name. Now there also, was Yaakov's name Yaakov discontinued at that point? Certainly not. So Loishe Oker Yaakov Mimkoimoy doesn't mean that Yaakov, the name Yaakov, will be completely erased. Elo Yisrael Ika. Rather, what it means is Yisrael will be the main name. The Yaakov Tofeloi. Well, Yaakov will be secondary. V'chein Oyma. Oh, so the truth is, what the two of you are mentioning is actually complementing each other. What does this mean? That it's that Laosid Lavoi, when Mashiach comes, Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to turn into something secondary. So, simply understood, what we're being told is it can be such greater miracles, such greater spectacles, that simply the Yitzias Mitzrayim, as spectacular as it was, will pale into comparison. But the Maharal says that the truth is, he says, arguably, maybe there were already other miracles that exceeded Yitzias Mitzrayim in their magnitude. Maybe Yeshua stopping the sun was a greater spectacle than any of the Makkos. There might have been. Someone wants to argue that a certain nes that happened at some other point in history was a greater nes than any of the Makkos or any of the phenomena that we saw then. Possible. But he says that yet, Yitzias Mitzrayim is something else. We're not celebrating the spectacles. We're not mentioning the marvels that we saw. But we're Yitzias Mitzrayim is the creation of the Jewish people. That's really the significance of what we're celebrating on Pesach. The fact that Hashem took them and made them into His people. That's what it's all about. It's not about independence, etc. Independence is nice, but that's not what we're making such an eternal big deal about. What we're making an eternal big deal about is the fact that Hashem chose us. We were born on Pesach as His people. He initiated a relationship with us. And therefore, yes, at the end of time, there might be spectacles that will completely overshadow what happened at Yitzias Mitzrayim. But they can never knock that out of the picture, because that's where it all began. I mean, like we said the other day, in some other shiur, maybe it wasn't here, that if a person has unbelievable achievements in his life, let's say he becomes the king, he becomes the ruler of the world, could be that there are events in his life that way overshadow his birth. He was born like millions of other people. But at the end of the day, nothing can knock that out of the picture, because that's the basis of it all. At the end of the day, the birthday will always remain a Yom Tov. Right? The day of his coronation might be a great day, might be a lot more significant than the day of his birth. But the day of the birth remains the day of the birth. Nothing can knock that out of the picture.
Why didn't the Jewish nation begin at the birth of the Shvatim?
What's that? It wasn't a nation then, it was a family. It had to be developed into a nation.
How many make into a nation?
What's that? Apparently 600,000. Okay. What's that? No, there is an issue of that 600,000. The Yitzias Mitzrayim is really the beginning of that. Before Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was nothing eternal about it. Meaning there were 12 great people, Yeshua. There were 12 great people, 12 Shvat, and 12 great people who are all going to go to Olam Haba. But who said that their seed for all of posterity would remain the Am Hashem? At Yitzias Mitzrayim, it became set in stone for all of posterity that these people would forever remain loyal to Hashem. Mitzad their own Bechira. Doesn't mean that individuals wouldn't drop off. Kali Yisrael's history has always worked that way. People can choose to drop off. But Yitzias Mitzrayim was what created the reality that these people will always remain the Am Hashem. Otherwise, there was no guarantee that it would last forever. As great as the Shvatim were, maybe it wouldn't have carried over a little bit more. The events of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the impact that it made on the people then, that granted it the momentum that carried them all throughout history. And therefore, it was then that they became the nation of Hashem. Up till then, they were the Shivteka. Fine. But who said that the great-great-grandchildren would have been interested? Maybe yeah, maybe not. As great a personalities as they were, it would have worn, may have worn off. I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Hashem was undertaking to ensure that this is something that they will retain forever. This was achieved through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why it was then that they were made into the Am Hashem. Okay. Now, V'cheinu Oimer. And there's another pasuk that says, Al Tizkiru Rishonos. Here also, and Hashem is talking about the Nechama, the consolation. Hashem says, do not remember the first things. Ekadmainius altis bainanu. And don't focus too much on earlier times. What's that referring to? Altizkiru Rishonos. Don't remember what was initially. Zeshibud Malchius. That's referring to the galus that we're in now. See, what is the Navi saying when he's saying don't remember these things? Say to the Navi, what do you mean don't remember these things? There's such terrible suffering that our nation has gone through all throughout the period of the galus. The Navi is just coming and saying, oh, don't think about it. Even after the Geula comes, won't we still be under the effect of the sad things that we experienced? No, but what the Navi is saying is, it's like we say in Jira Malus, Ha'inu kecholmen. When it's actually going to happen, everything of the past, all of the terrible experiences, all the ordeals and tribulations that Klal Yisrael has put through throughout its history, will be something that doesn't even warrant much attention. It's like, what's that relevant now in light of what we're seeing now? Klal Yisrael themselves, the Navi is not instructing Klal Yisrael, forget about it. The Navi is describing the state of mind Klal Yisrael will be in at that time. It'll be so lofty, so elevated. So not just the experience, the thrill of what's going to be at that time, will just it all doesn't matter. It sounds difficult to comprehend while we're here in the galus. But then, yeah, it'll seem like just a bad dream, like we say, it'll seem just a bad dream, but it's all not of substance. Now, the kadmoni esaltis bainano, it says don't focus too much on what was earlier. Yetzias Mitzrayim, that refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once again, this is not a directive. Don't focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Saying what the natural state of things is going to be. People are going to be so bowled over by the things that they will have experienced at that time that Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to pale, the experiences, the spectacles of Yetzias Mitzrayim will pale in comparison. Again, not the significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim like we've discussed, but the spectacles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the experiences of Yetzias Mitzrayim will pale in comparison. That's also true. It's something of the past. But apparently the Navi is saying even more than that. He seems to be saying, no, even if you just compare the two experiences, one will way overshadow the other one. Even like, theoretically, had someone been through both. Hineni oise chadosho atot titzmach. So Navi continues and says, I am now creating something new. It will now sprout forth. Tani Rav Yosef said in Ebraisa, Zu milchemes goig umagog. That's referring to the war of goig umagog. This is this mysterious war, which has already been subject to much interpretation. Whatever it is, so mashal amadavadayma. What is it a mashal of? Meaning the people are going to be after that period, when they're thinking back to the experiences of having been through goig umagog. Back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, la adam shaya ma'alech baderech, like a person who was going on the road, upaga boi ze'ev, and he encountered a wolf, not a pleasant thing to encounter. Venitzal mimenu, whether it's a four-legged wolf somewhere in the forest or a two-legged wolf on a street of New York, whatever it is, it's not comfortable to bump into a wolf. But he survived. So he met people after that. He told the story of the wolf. Then he bumped into a lion. He was saved by from the lion. Oh, that's already a whole story of a whole different caliber. So then, he replaced his original story. Now he's telling the story of the lion. And then, he encountered a serpent. And he was survived that encounter. He forgot both original stories. And he was just telling the story of the serpent. Meaning the serpent was much more of a traumatic experience and much more of a feeling of salvation. At least with the lion, there's some sense of, first of all, maybe he won't attack, not always going to attack, maybe he wasn't hungry. And you can also somewhat relate to the way a lion's mind works, in a sense. A serpent is a whole different story, completely unpredictable, fast, you don't know where it's going to hit you from, etc.
Are there anyone identified with these different animals, any nations?
Not necessarily in this context. I don't know.
And then he went on and just told the story of the Nachash.
So too with Yisrael, the things that they'll go through at the end will simply make the earlier ones be forgotten. Okay. Now we move on, kind of like onto something of a tangent, but once we mentioned this idea of Yaakov having his name replaced, there were other people also in our history who had their names changed. So Avram, who Avraham? Divrei HaYomim makes something clear for us, in case you're learning Chumash, and in Parshas Lech Lecha you're learning about Avram. All of a sudden, a couple of Parshas later, you're learning about Avraham. You wonder, where did Avram go? So Divrei HaYomim says, Avram, who Avraham? Avram is Avraham. And the Gemara is going to explain the connotation of the two names. Avraham as opposed to Avram. Betchila naso av la'aram. Avram Avinu originally was a patriarch of Aram. That's where he came from. So Avram is actually an acronym. Av Aram is the father of Aram. V'lebesoif naso av l'kol olam kuloi. And afterwards, he became the patriarch of the entire world. Meaning as follows. Initially, when Avraham Avinu first began his career, he influenced the people of Aram. He became a renowned figure. He had a lot of influence. It wasn't just that he was persecuted. He was a threat. Right? Nimrod had good reason to persecute him. If you're thinking in despotic terms, we can very much understand Nimrod. This wasn't just nothing. And he had a lot of talmidim, and he had a lot of influence, and his teachings had a very, very great effect in Aram. But his teachings spread even further. Hashem assisted his efforts. He ended up actually influencing the entire world. Meaning, we don't understand. The Torah is very focused on the personal story of Avraham Avinu, what's going on in the family. You get different inklings, different hints here and there that actually this was a person who was renowned far and wide. For example, right, the Bnei Ches, Nesi'e Elokim Ato B'Kirbeinu. You are a prince of God in our midst. Meaning, people around recognized him. He was going around teaching. He was renowned as a great figure in his generation. So here the Gemara is actually telling us that that's represented in the change of names. He was originally Av La'aram, father of Aram, a great teacher in Aram. Had a lot of influence in Aram. Ultimately, that spread to the entire world. Actually, Rabbi Victor Miller says, it's an interesting, bit of a novel approach. Bilam came from where? Came from Aram, right? Aram is the home place, is the birthplace of Avraham Avinu. Now, Bilam, he was a prophet. Now, he wasn't the tzaddik. But at the end of the day, the fact that he was chosen as a prophet shows that he was, if a guy had to be chosen, that's a famous question that's asked. Hashem gave the goyim a prophet, Bilam, right? In order to be able to say, look, I gave you a prophet and it didn't help. Mishkoyach, he gave us a Bilam. Give us somebody right. So you have to understand. The pshat is that no, Goyim of that time would have said, yes, if we have to choose somebody, it would be Bilam. Bilam was a person who was known for his recognition of Hashem. Bilam expressed himself that way. I cannot transgress the word of Hashem my God. Now how exactly he worked that out with all the different elements of his life, I don't know. He had different parshias, for those of you who are in the inn, that didn't seem to sit so well with the word of Hashem, but at least in theory, that's what he believed himself to be. So, where'd that come from? Where did he connect? And Rav Avigdor Miller says this was still residue of Avraham Avinu's teachings that still remained in Aram to an extent and carried over. There were people who still carried the philosophy of Avraham Avinu. There wasn't much left of it in Aram by that time. But yes, Bilam was actually some residue of what Avraham Avinu had left behind in Aram. So, yes, he had a much greater effect. It wasn't just our patriarch. This was a person who was influencing, who was considered a great teacher for the entire world. Sarai, he's Sarah. Sarai is Sarah. Betchila nasis Sarai l'umasa. What does the name Sarai denote? Sar is a minister, a ministress. I don't know how you say a female minister. Noble woman, okay? So, originally she's my noble woman, meaning it was more of a private, personal thing. She was considered a noble woman among her people. But then, it turned from that into Sarah, noble woman. Not being limited to anybody specific. In the end, she became the noble woman of the entire world. Okay. Tani Bar Kapara.
What's the difference between the name change for Abraham and Sarah versus the name change with Yaakov, where we see the is there a difference in the name change itself, or just the fallout afterwards?
In other words, you're asking why is it that Yaakov's original name was maintained even afterwards alongside Yisrael, whereas in Avram's case it was completely discarded, the original name. Okay, we'll see. Let's move on to the next Gemara that accentuates this, and then we'll see. By the way, do you have a timepiece I can borrow? Shkoyach. Okay. Don't want to keep the oilum too long. Thanks. Shkoyach. Okay. Tani Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara Torah Braisa, which is basically going to bring out your question even more. Kol HaKoyre LaAvraham, Avraham, listen to this. Anybody who calls Avraham, Avraham, I don't know new names. I remember Avram from when we went to school together. For me, he'll always be Avram. Okay? Somebody who calls Avram, Avram, oiver ba'aseh. He is transgressing a mitzvah aseh. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, ve'haya shimcha Avraham. Your name will be Avraham. That's it. Rabbi Eliezer, oimer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Oiver Bilav. He also transgresses a loisase, Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Veloikare Oid es Shimcha Avram. And your name will no longer be called, or actually we should translate it, your name should no longer be called Avram. So there's a positive and negative command to refer to him only as Avram, not Avram. So the Gemara says, now, this is stated only about Avram. Doesn't say this about the other name changes. Doesn't say this about Sarah. It doesn't say it about Yaakov either.
What is this in the last line of the previous summit?
I'm sorry?
What is this pasuk in the last line of the previous summit?
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. The Gemara's going to ask that. We'll see. So the Gemara says, Elameata, if that's the case, Hakore l'Sarah, Sarai, Hachanami. The same should apply for a person who calls Sarah, Sarai. Hashem made the change, that means that's it. You're not supposed to call her that anymore. So the Gemara says no. Hasam kudshabricho amal Avram. Note there that it's different word. It's worded differently. There, Hashem tells Avram, Sarai ishtecha loy tikra es shema Sarai. You shall not call her name Sarai anymore. Ki Sarah shema. Because her name is Sarah. So there was a personal command. Hashem tells him, you shouldn't call her Sarai anymore, okay? That applied to Avram. It didn't apply to anybody else. With Avram, it was stated in a more universal way. Your name shall not be called Avram anymore. Not saying you shouldn't refer to it that way. It shall not be called that anymore. That is something that applies to everybody. So therefore, no, there's no Isser in calling Sarah Sarai. You just might be missing your person. What? Yeah, for Avram, there was an Isser. So the Gemara says, Elameato. Well, if so, Hakore le Yaakov Yaakov Hochenam. The same should apply for someone who calls Yaakov Yaakov, because there it is put that way. It said, Lo Yikore Shimcha Oid Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yeshemecha. Your name shall not be called Yaakov anymore. Israel shall be your name. So therefore, that is expressed in the same way Avraham Avinu's command was expressed. So the Gemara answers, Shani Hasam. There it's different. The Hoda Ahadre Kro. That the Pasuk itself, Hashem himself, went later and did use the name Yaakov. The Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Elohim liYisrael b'mar ois halayla. And Hashem said to Yisrael in a vision of the night, Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. And he called him Yaakov Yaakov. So you see that Hashem himself didn't drop the name. So no, the name was not dropped. It was simply replaced, not replaced. It was, had another name added to it. But Yaakov remains. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is telling us that, you see from the Psukim, that's how it is. The Gemara is not explaining us why that is. Why is it that by Avraham Avinu, the name change was considered so drastic that it completely supplants the original name? Whereas with Yaakov, no. Yaakov stays. Yisrael becomes another name. So first of all, let's just note,
I mean, the name change by Avram affected his ability to give birth, whereas with Yaakov Avinu, he was fine even without it.
That's true. That's an interesting point. I didn't see that mentioned, but that's an interesting point. There was something about Mamish changing the essence of who he was, I hear. But think about another thing. In each of these cases, who gave the original name?
The original name?
The original name.
Malach.
Huh?
Malach. Was it Malach that gave the original
name? Who? No. Who gave the original name?
The parents.
The original name that's being replaced. It's being eliminated now. What? Who called Yaakov Yaakov?
His father.
His father.
Right?
By Yitzchak. By Yitzchak it says. By Yitzchak. I don't think it says it by Yaakov. But there, it was Yitzchak who gave the name. In the case of Avram, it was Terach who gave the name. That's already something of a difference, right? Meaning there's a lot of significance. What's the intent? The intent in a name holds a lot of significance. What exactly did Terach intend when he said the name? Maybe actually intended what the Gemara said, Avla Aram, he should become a great leader. Whatever it is, his intents weren't who knows what. It's not something that we have to think twice about before discarding, and in fact, having Terach's intent stuck to you might just be an impediment. There are some brachas that you're better off without. But, when a name is initiated by someone like Yitzchak Avinu, or Rivka, whoever it was, when a name is initiated by someone like Yitzchak Avinu, there's an awful lot to that name. So Hashem is coming and saying, you've added a level. You've risen even higher. But not that what was originally is completely replaced. Oh, you've built on that. You've grown even higher. But on the contrary, if we think about it, what is the significance of the two? What's the connotation of the name? Yaakov. The name Yaakov denotes Yaakov's eternality. Right? He'll always be there at the end of the day. Even though Esav will try to, Yaakov, he will be there at the end. Right? So now Yisrael is really taking it to a higher plane. We'll call one quantity and quality in a way. But Yaakov means that, no, at the end of the day, he'll survive. That's Yaakov. That's very important. A very important part of who we are is our eternality. But Yisrael is saying even more than that. Yisrael is adding the essence, the element of Kisorisa im Elokim im Anoshim Vatuchal. You are now rising to a level of superiority in the celestial worlds, in the upper worlds. So one is quality and one is quantity. Certainly, when Yitzchak blessed him with that eternality, that's not being taken away. We're adding to that. We're adding, Yaakov Avinu is reaching the Madrega of Yisrael. And on the contrary, we find that in many ways, Yaakov is the term used when we're referring to more material issues, whereas Yisrael is the more spiritual name. But both go together.
Why wasn't, for instance, Moshe Rabbeinu's name changed? Because his name was given to him by Egyptian.
The issue is not the Egyptian, the issue was who she was. Batya was a worthy person. On the contrary, her name took precedence to the name that his parents gave her. Apparently, she invested even more pure motives. Hard to grasp. But the purity of her motives when she saved him and when she named him stuck. Terach was Terach, with all due respect. Okay. Now, Meitziv Rav Yosi Bar-Avin Beitemer Rav Yosi Bar-Zvida. Either Rav Yosi Bar-Avin or Rav Yosi Bar-Zvida challenged this. How can you say that it's forbidden to call Avram Avram? We find that there was a very great person who did. Nehemiah says, Atahu Hashem Elokim. When he was davening to Hashem, he says, we say this every day, you are Hashem Elokim, Asher Bochalta Ba'Avram, who chose Avram. How could Nehemiah do that? So Omar Lei, so he told him, Hasam Noviu de Kamisada Shivchei de Rachmana. There, it's not that he was calling him Avram, that he was discussing Avram, and that was how he was referring to him. No, he was, in his praise of Hashem, what he was doing is, Ma'idahave Me'ikara. He was going through the whole sequence. He was saying, the one who started out on Avram, you chose him, Samto Shmai Avram, and you turned him into Avram. When he's saying it in that way, he's not calling him Avram now. He's saying, yes, this person started out as Avram, and you chose him and turned him into Avram. Okay? That's fine. That's fine. Okay, so Lemaisa, just the Poiskim note, or sorry, Mefarshim note, that the Poiskim don't actually cite this La'alacha. Why isn't this cited La'alacha? Now it's not entirely true, Rabbi Akiva Eger already notes, that the Mogen Avram does cite this La'alacha. He presents this as La'alacha in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, that the La'alacha is that it's forbidden to call Avraham Avram. But yet, even so, many of the Mefarshim, for example, the Dogel Mirvav, the Noida Yehuda, he notes, Mogen Avram Taka cites this, and it's also to call Avraham Avram. If you do, you transgress and asay. The Noida Yehuda says, plenty of earlier authorities, the Rambam, the Chinuch, many others, presented a full list of the Taryag Mitzvahs. None of them have that on the list. Why didn't it show up as one of the positive commands of the Torah? None of the Moinei Mitzvahs, none of those who listed the Mitzvahs count this. So, why isn't it there?
Maybe because it came before Matan Torah.
What's that? Yeah, well, we have Mila there, we have Pru Revu there. The mitzvahs before Matan Torah are counted.
Were those reiterated at Matan Torah?
What's that?
Perhaps
no. Were, okay. No, Pru Revu wasn't. That Mila was kind of, yeah. But yeah, no, the mitzvahs before Matan Torah are certainly counted. So there are two approaches. The Pri Chadosh says that this is not really, the Gemara doesn't really mean to say that it's a mamish and asay. It means the Chachamim are coming and saying it's an asmachta. Chachamim are coming and saying it's not appropriate to refer to Avraham that way because Hashem was making a point by calling his name Avraham. He was completely replacing who he was. It's an asmachta. It's not really meant as a serious love. Ben Yishchai says an interesting point. He says that possibly, say, Nasa Avla Koloilum Kuloi. It'll be the father of the entire world. That's really referring to the end of time. That's what he says. Therefore, he said it's possible that this Isser really applies to the time when Avraham Avinu's status as the father of the entire world will be fully realized, which is in the end of time. And therefore, as long as we're before the end of time, the Isser isn't really in effect. That's what the Ben Yishchai says. And he says, therefore, they challenge it from a pasuk. This is a pasuk, it's Tanakh, that's going to remain for all of time. How could we have such a pasuk that's going to be even if the Mashiach comes?
So that's going to be a new mitzvah, it'll be Taryad mitzvah.
What's that?
There's going to be a new mitzvah of don't call him Avram. It'll be a Taryad mitzvah.
I don't know. There definitely were different points in history where there were different mitzvahs. For example, at Har Sinai, there was a whole set of mitzvahs Chiyuvin, how the Kali saw to approach Har Sinai. Which Gemara, there are sugyas about it. What the halachas were? Who could come close to the mountain? Who couldn't, etc.
That's not for all time. That's for a very specific point.
Right. So it could be also that those mitzvahs that are not all the way straight through are not counted among the tarayag. But maybe there are. I don't know. Right. Right. So therefore, the Ben Ishchai says maybe the issur to call him Avram only applies at that time when Avraham is fully materialized. Until it's night, you can still call him Avram. Okay, it's an interesting idea. Hadron aloch me'emosai. Okay, so yeah, Be'ezos Hashem, we will rezoicha to finish the first parak. I encourage the Olam to take the next 2 weeks to review. Any questions come up, please email me. I'll be very happy to give and take. With the inyanim, we'll start Be'ezos Hashem, the second parak if the Pesach. So we're going to